Good morning. I'm Mariah Daniels with Dr. Gustavo Lopes, bariatric and general surgeon with Palm Beach Health Network Physician Group, bariatric surgery associates of Port St. Lucie, and on staff at Good Samaritan Medical Center. Somehow found the time to join us. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you. And what kind of inspired you to specialize in bariatric surgery? And what would you say is most rewarding about helping patients with weight loss surgery?
So first, the surgery itself technically is just a nice surgery to do. So it's an enjoyable thing and part of our job. But bariatric surgery specifically has maybe the greatest or one of the greatest impacts on patients' day-to-day life that mm-hmm. I can have as a surgeon. So that's really rewarding. And the ability to, in some cases, cure type 2 diabetes, specifically that drives me tremendously with this, because I would say that's the most rewarding part
right.
of doing this type of surgery.
Right. From seeing the struggles prior to then seeing them, you know, go through this, just start a better life for them, really.
Yeah, correct. I mean, because there's lots of surgeries I perform mm-hmm. and, you know, they have, you know, an impact on them. You might fix something, take something out.
Right.
But to have a sustained long-term impact that touches just about every part of their life, mm-hmm. there's little that compares to bariatric surgery like that.
Right. And why would you say it's important for individuals considering weight loss surgery to have a consult with a bariatric surgeon?
Well, that's where it all starts. So mm-hmm. most people that are considering bariatric surgery usually have thought about it for a long time, sometimes
right.
years or decades before they actually take that first step to meet a surgeon or talk about it with a physician. So during that consultation, not only do we get to know each other and go over what the goals are and what the options are to achieve those goals,
mm-hmm.
patients also are getting to know the team because bariatric surgery is definitely a team sport. So it takes support from the staff, bariatric nurse, et cetera, that really is going to go along the journey with them. So they have to kind of see what,
mm-hmm.
Those resources are going to be, who those people are, and make sure that they're happy with their selection for their surgeon and their team.
Right. And comfortability as well prior to going through this procedure, you know, getting to know everybody and kind of take that kind of tension off of it. You know what I mean? And who would be considered a suitable candidate for bariatric surgery? Like, what criteria do you use to determine that eligibility?
Right. So currently the indications for bariatric surgery are a BMI or body mass index of mm-hmm. 40 and above or 35 and above with a medical comorbidity that's related to obesity, for example, like sleep apnea or type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what insurance companies that cover bariatric surgery use as their criteria for surgery. There are recently new guidelines by our societies that have advocated for pushing those levels down to BMI of 35 and 30, but the insurance companies haven't, you know, caught up with that yet.
And for those kind of like, you know, who would you say, if you can explain like the key differences between gastric bypass and sleeve gastrectomy, as well as like weight loss surgeries, how do you kind of decide which procedure is best for each patient?
That's a good question. So the two majorly used procedures for weight loss today are the sleeve gastrectomy and the gastric bypass. There are others that are used infrequently or mm-hmm. in special circumstances, but those are the two main ones. So the most common one performed today is the sleeve gastrectomy. That surgery is where a large portion of the stomach is removed with a surgical stapler, and what remains is a tube or sleeve-shaped stomach. And that's it. So no other parts are touched. So that works for weight loss by making it restrictive to eat volume, because you've decreased the capacity of the stomach, so you can only eat so much in one setting. It also has some hormonal changes. So the portion of the stomach that you remove makes a hormone called ghrelin, which drives hunger. So you are suppressing the appetite by decreasing the production of that hormone. So the gastric bypass, on the other hand, you don't remove anything. You use a surgical stapler again, but you create a small gastric pouch in the stomach. So again, it's restrictive in the amount of volume you can eat in one sitting. But then the small intestine is rerouted in a way that bypasses a portion of it. And that's connected to that gastric pouch. So that works with the restriction that we talked about. And it also has some other hormonal effects slightly different than the sleeve that aid in the weight loss. So they work similarly, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So each patient, you know, you have to customize where they are, where their starting point is, where they need to get to, and decide, you know, which procedure is best for them. A lot of patients come in with certain ideas. They've learned a lot, done a lot of research. So mm-hmm. They may think one or the other. And if it makes sense, we can do it that way. Other times you have to kind of redirect because one might be a little bit more advantageous for one patient versus another.
And we touched back on, you know, the importance of a consultation with a bariatric surgeon prior to, you know, surgery. And can you kind of best describe your kind of weight loss management with your team and support they provide to patients throughout their journey?
Sure. So we have a coordinator of the program that kind of works in the background to make sure everything is working. When the patients start with us, they actually meet with our bariatric nurse first. So that's where the education process starts. So before you ever get to surgery, you have to go through several steps, some of which is insurance kind of driven, that they require other parts to prepare you for this journey because it's a big change.
Yeah.
So there's an orientation process and an education process that starts before I even meet them. And then once they've gone through that, I will meet the patients and we will go over our options and kind of our goals and kind of have a tentative plan of what we want for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll continue to get their clearances that they may need for surgery, as well as an endoscopy to evaluate their stomach and to make sure everything is healthy and okay for surgery before surgery. So it's a long process, sometimes you know, 3 to 6 months before they ever get to the operating room, just in preparation for the surgery.
For the procedure. And what are the pros and cons of weight loss medication compared to bariatric surgery? And under what kind of circumstances do you recommend each option?
That's a good question. So weight loss medications have been around for a while. There aren't that many of them that have been around, but they've obviously become kind of in vogue and much more popular now with the recent ones. So again, where are you starting and what are you trying to get to? So the first part of weight loss, I would say, is to improve your health and decrease your risks of medical comorbidities. So believe it or not, it only takes 5 to 10% weight loss to achieve that. So sometimes you don't need a dramatic weight loss to get what you want if you just want to get healthier and don't need, you know, a 50, 60, 70-pound weight loss. So if that's what it is, then medications might be correct for you, and even the older ones might be appropriate. If we need more weight loss, more dramatic weight loss, there are these newer ones called the GLP-1 medicines that are the injectable ones that you hear about on the news all the time, the Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro. And they work a little bit better than the older ones. And they can be appropriate for a lot of people, especially the people that are adverse to surgery. Some people just are very, you know, adverse to have undergoing surgery and making any kind of anatomic changes in their body. So that might be appropriate for them. Now, the very high weight people that need the maximum weight loss we can achieve, then surgery is how you get there. And, you know, that is still the most dramatic weight loss you can achieve. And now we're even sometimes combining the two. Sometimes we're using medicines and surgery together.
Right. Yeah. So would you say when you prescribe weight loss medication as part of your treatment approach, like if so, what factors influence your decision to do so?
So let's say, again, it depends on the situation, mm-hmm. but if you have a very high BMI patient, you might decide to start medication to get the weight loss started before you ever go into the operating room. You want to get them down to a safer weight to make surgery easier or less risky. Mm-hmm. So you might want to do that. The other things, if they've had maybe a contraindication to surgery, they've had a lot of other previous surgeries or certain disease processes that make surgery not a great idea, you might then alternatively turn to medicines instead. We are also using it for people that have had surgery in the past and are starting to regain some weight. Medication may be appropriate in that setting to kind of offset that. So each situation is different. You have to kind of weigh the pros and cons of each approach, you know, for that individual
right.
patient.
Yeah, 100% for sure. And as a general surgeon, do you also perform hernia and abdominal wall reconstruction surgeries? And what kind of criteria would be a candidate for these type of surgeries?
Yeah, that's a major part of being a general surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly an area of personal interest for me. So in a basic sense, a hernia is a hole.
Mm-hmm.
So a hernia in the abdominal wall is a hole, sometimes naturally occurring, sometimes occurs from things like having previous other surgeries called mm-hmm. incisional hernias. So they typically create bulges in the abdominal wall and are often painful and can get larger over time. So those would be the reasons to perform hernia repairs as somebody that has that. Abdominal wall reconstruction is for the most severe type of hernia that you're having to kind of extensively rebuild the abdominal wall. So luckily those are more rare, but mm-hmm. you know, some unfortunate people need quite extensive repairs.
Right. And who are suitable candidates for gallbladder and spleen surgeries? And what are the typical indications for these procedures? Additionally, who would benefit from reflux surgery, and what does the procedure entail?
So gallbladder surgery, again, is one of the very common gallbladder surgeries that are performed. And they come in two varieties. There's the acute kind, like you went to the emergency room with severe abdominal pain that's not getting better, and you have an infected or inflamed gallbladder that needs to come out now. There's also the chronic variety. That's the type that people get gallbladder attacks when they eat fatty meals, but each attack resolves and they're okay until they have the next attack, but it keeps recurring over and over again. So those patients require surgery, but they can be done on a scheduled elective basis. Spleen surgeries are luckily rare. The most common cause would be trauma, so mm-hmm. nothing anybody can do to plan for that. But there are a few blood disorders that ultimately lead to spleen surgery. Again, not very common. Reflux surgery, that is an advanced surgery
mm-hmm.
That is reserved for people with reflux that are not doing well on medicines.
Right.
We have some pretty good medicines these days to control acid reflux, so most people with acid reflux don't need surgery. But for those that have breakthrough symptoms despite medicines or have large hiatal hernias that are associated with the reflux and make it worse, then surgery becomes an option to give them relief.
Dr. Gustavo Lopes, man, an absolute pleasure to chat with you. This has been so enlightening, and I really hope those who are listening in and maybe considering can reach out to you. And for those individuals, for more information about you and your surgical specialties, how can they contact?
So they can look for us online and in our website, or we could be reached by phone as well at 772-255-7550.
Awesome. And for that website, that's pbhnphysiciangroup.com?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Gustavo Lopes. Have a blessed day. Thank you for everything you do, and I can imagine how rewarding it is for you.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for having me.